All right, Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter 8 is where we are, and we're in a place where Jesus Christ is about to calm a storm. And I've heard this preached a lot of different ways about maybe applying it to people and how Jesus calms your storm or something like that. But I'll say this kind of baffled me, because the whole story, these disciples, they get in the boat. Jesus says, "We're going to the other side." They get in the boat, and then the storm comes. There's water coming in the boat. They wake Jesus up, and it appears, I mean, there's real life-threatening, it's a real life-threatening circumstance. And so they wake Jesus Christ up and tell him, and they're afraid, and he rebukes the wind and the water and calms it all down. And, you know, there's a nice probably story in there about how Jesus calms your storms and stuff. But then he looks at the disciples and says, "Where's your faith?" And I thought, well, that's kind of a mean thing to say. I mean, they're literally, their lives are in jeopardy. They go to Jesus for help. And then he asks, "Where's your faith?" Isn't faith going to Jesus for help? I mean, isn't that part of it? So why are they being rebuked? And so I had a hard time with this. I had a hard time, you know, sometimes reading and hearing what Jesus says, and I have a hard time stomaching some of it, because it doesn't make sense what his perspective of the people is. And that's probably normal. That's probably a normal thing. Like, you're going to have to dig into the Bible, learn about the personality of Jesus Christ, and understand what the perspective is he's coming from. And so I read this at Luke chapter 8, verse 22. If you want to go there and read along with me here. But here's the story. Here's the episode that we're looking at. In verse 22, it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." Okay, so that's what he says. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. I'll say, I read that, and sometimes it's like, well, you know, all these guys are doing all the work, and he's just going to go to sleep while they row or something. But no, it's I'm sure he's had more than a busy time of ministry. And so they sailed. Verse 23, he fell asleep. There came down a storm of wind on the lake. They were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. That is incredible. Just incredible. So the natural things obey, nature obeys the voice of God, the voice of the Lord here. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." Incredible. That would just be such an amazing thing to be a part of. I mean, have Jesus Christ on a boat, and you got this tsunami coming in or something. I mean, you got some storm coming in, and these are experienced fishermen. These guys, it's not like they haven't been on a boat before, and they probably have been on a boat in a storm before. And they're scared to death. And so Jesus Christ, just asleep, he wakes up, calms everything down. And you'll notice in Luke here, there's a series of records of all the things that Jesus Christ has authority over. You talk about nature, he just calms nature down. Then he's going to deal with devils, and he's going to cast out devils. He's going to deal with sickness. He's going to get rid of somebody's sickness. And so all of this, even death, I think there's even death that's going to show up here in a few verses. And so there's a record by Luke of all the things that Jesus Christ is just going to display superiority and authority over in just everyday life, and just dealing with people under the curse and things like that. So he rebukes the water, the wind, and calms down, and then he looks at the disciples and says, "Where is your faith?" And I'll say in Luke, it's a little bit ambiguous. It's not real clear why he's mad at him, other than, you know, where's your faith? But they came to you for help. That is what you would think, that would be the thing that would please him. You read in some other accounts like Matthew and Mark, and the thing that frustrates Jesus Christ from his perspective is, why do people experience fear in these situations? Why are you so afraid? He'll say that in Matthew. Like, where is your faith? Why are you so afraid? And to Jesus Christ, it's an anomaly. It's out of what should be expected from people, I guess, who had been with Jesus Christ. Why are you afraid? And so that carries on, and this is some things about faith and faithlessness. Faithlessness that I've pulled out of this episode here. But you'll see a side of Jesus Christ here that it's divine, but it's also sometimes distasteful, I think. Where, yeah, you want him to calm your storm, but you don't want him accusing you of being faithless. You don't want him to calm it down and then look at you and say, "What's up, man? What is the problem here? Why are you acting this way?" Yeah, we like the calm storm thing, but we don't like him turning to us and turning to the disciples and saying, "What happened? What happened?" And so you see a side of him that's divine, but it's also sometimes a little bit distasteful. So here's a few things about faith that I notice in this, because the whole thing is about faith, and really it's about faithlessness, because that's the question he asks. It's faithlessness. And you'll notice also at the end of these episodes, everybody around Jesus Christ gets a better understanding of who he is after the whole thing's over. You know, the disciples didn't understand that, okay, yeah, he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God, but we didn't know that you could talk to the wind. More than that, we didn't know you could talk to the wind and the wind would respond. We didn't know you could talk to the water and have the water respond to you. We didn't know that. That was something we'd never experienced before. So here's a few things about faith and faithlessness, because this is the thing that consistently shocks Jesus Christ. He'll go to places and he just marvels at their unbelief. He'll marvel at how can you not understand these things? How do you not believe this? And so it's a consistent theme in Jesus Christ's ministry, where he deals with people who he has these expectations that are consistently not met with the people around him. And so, like I said, it's a divine side of Jesus Christ, but it's also can be a hurtful and painful side, because he's looking at disciples and he's looking at even by extension us or you and me, and asking these questions. You know, what's wrong? What's happened? What's wrong with you? A couple things here. I notice about faith, the disciples in this case, everybody on the boat is in legitimate jeopardy. That's what the Bible says, jeopardy. It's their lives are legitimately in danger. It doesn't seem to gloss over that. It's not like, well, they perceive that there was a problem. No, it says that their lives were literally at risk. There is potential for death here. And when I hear Jesus Christ say in situations like that, and not only say it just as a question, but almost as a disappointment. Like you're facing death, and then where is your faith? Why are you fearful? And it's tough to swallow. That's tough to swallow. So notice about faith, it's a faith that actually matters. That's what he's looking for. Faith that actually has an effect. What does it do? It erases this fear of loss of life, which is, that's the thing. I mean, that's the fear. But notice there's real danger. It's not that these waves and this storm are not dangerous because Jesus Christ is in the boat. It's not that there's not potential for loss here. And like I said, many of these men are fishermen. Their lives have been spent on boats. They've been through storms, I'm sure. So they have experience navigating rough waters. And so the fear is legitimate. It's a real problem. They see the water coming in, the waves are who knows how tall, the wind's blowing, and they can't get control of this thing. And more so, the water's coming in the boat and the boat's starting to sink. So there's a legitimate concern for life. And in the face of that, Jesus Christ says, where is your faith? So he expects that faith would be, it would matter. It would have such an effect on a person's life where they would trust in Jesus Christ, they would trust in the work of God, they would trust in the Word of God, such that even their very lives would be of less concern than their faith in Jesus Christ. And so to hear him say these things, it can be a little bit unnerving. So the fear is legitimate. Their lives are in jeopardy. There's a proverb that says, essentially, if you fail in the day of adversity, then your strength is small. It's weakness. Meaning there's and you understand what it means, but when there's opposition and you face the opposition and you crumble, then it just shows that that thing wasn't as substantial as you thought it was. And here you have faith in the opposition of, or in the face of death itself, which is incredible. I mean, this is faith in the face of death. You'll see it in a few verses, I think, after he deals with Jairus in a few verses, where he's going to, I think, raise somebody from the dead. But all of this is his power over these things. And Jesus Christ, apparently in his disciples' lives, fear was the absence of faith. That was where faith was supposed to be. In place of that faith, there was fear. And the Lord says in some places, where's your faith? Where is it? Where is it? And it's a faith that actually matters is what he's looking for. Not just a faith, confession of faith or profession of faith, a faith that actually controls the emotions of the people, a faith that actually controls the perception and the perspective of the people. And so when Jesus Christ deals with these disciples who were scared out of their mind, where is your faith? Well, Lord, I mean, we're about to die. And the Lord would say, yeah, I'm aware of the situation, but my question is, where's your faith? Where did it go? Well, it left in the absence of this, in the presence of this fear. So faith that matters, it actually has some effect on someone's life. It's not just a faith that's talked about. It's a faith that changes your life. It's a faith that changes your perception, changes your perspective. It changes your emotions and how you process information, things like that. It's a faith that matters. Verse 23, as they sailed, he fell asleep. There came down a storm of wind on the lake. They were filled with water and were in jeopardy. That's all real and true. And the question is still the same. Even though you're in jeopardy, where's your faith? That's tough. That's tough. But it's a faith that matters. He's looking for a faith that matters. Then the second thing I notice is it troubles me that it did, reading this, that the storm comes and Jesus Christ just goes to sleep. I know there are times when you could probably, you're so exhausted you could sleep through anything. Had a few times like that. You probably have too. And Jesus Christ is probably in that situation, just going to go to sleep. There's nothing. I can't do anything else. I just sleep. So he falls asleep. Another problem I notice with this faith that the Lord is disappointed in, it's the disciples, they have here Jesus asleep on the boat during a dangerous time. And not only does he not appear to care what's going on, but he's also angry. He's also frustrated at their response to this thing. What's this faith? This is a faith that when the Lord doesn't seem to care about things the way you care about them. So the disciples have this, they're obviously concerned for their lives. And Jesus Christ is not. He doesn't have the same concerns they have. He doesn't have the same worries they have. And talked a little bit about it in Sunday school, but you know, Christianity is lining up your values, your beliefs, your understanding of the world, lining it up with God. And his understanding, I say understanding, I mean his, the reality, lining it up with God. And so sometimes it appears that Jesus Christ just doesn't care about the same things that you and I care about. And you know, the reality and the distasteful reality is that's true. Sometimes he's not concerned with the things you're concerned about. Case in point, the disciples. Lord, I mean, we're all going to die. Hey, where is your faith? Why are you thinking this way? Sometimes it's a really tough process to move your understanding and your thinking and line it up with God's thinking. I mean, this is God's thinking here. You're privy to this information. You're given this light. And so you can see how God views things. You can see how the Lord views things. So faith when the Lord doesn't care the way you care. Your faith, my faith, is going to be tried this way, in this way, when you realize the Lord doesn't always share your feelings about stuff. He just doesn't share your feelings about it. We have a really good way of projecting our feelings onto God and pretending like God has the same feelings we have about things. Projecting our opinions or our understandings on God and pretending like he has the same emotions. You know, I feel bad and God feels bad because I feel bad. And, you know, that's not true. It's just not true. The Lord's perspective and the Lord's work and the Lord's mind is different than people's. And Christianity is, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. It's let that mind be in you. Don't bring that mind down to you and make it fit your world. Make your world fit his world. Faith when the Lord doesn't seem to care the way you care. And this is honestly an accusation leveled against God sometimes. Why doesn't God do something about this thing? Why doesn't he fix this? Why doesn't he change this? Why does he allow this bad thing to happen and continue to happen? And the answer is, he doesn't have the same perspective on these things that you do. He doesn't share the same feelings about things that you do. He has a different perspective, and not just a different, he has the right perspective on things. So it's an accusation that's leveled against the Lord sometimes. And so where do you find faith in this? Where do you find faith in this? There was a good point made one time about this. You don't always know what God's doing. Job, I have no idea what God's doing here. You don't always know what God's doing. But if you know that God is good, then you know that what He's doing is good. And then you know that what He's allowing is going to be okay. Live or die, Paul says, whether I live or die, to die is gain, to live is Christ. The whole thing, it's win-win. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, because of what He's done, because of who He is. And if you believe that God is good, you can believe the things that He does are good. Whether you understand them all or not, whether I understand them all or not, that's a different case. It's a different thing. But sometimes He doesn't care the way you care or I care, because His perspective on things is much, much different than ours. You know, I would be tempted, and maybe this happened, it wasn't recorded, I don't know. But I would be tempted in a situation like that to kind of talk back a little bit. Where is your faith? It's like, well, wait, did you not see what was happening? I mean, did you not see that the boat's sinking and you're asleep? Did you? I mean, and why are you asking me where I came to you? I came for help. It just shows the different, very different perspectives on things, and then that the Lord, He doesn't always care about the things that I care about, or the things that I find important. So He attempts to give you His perspective through His words, and we can be woefully ignorant of His perspective sometimes. So you got a faith that actually matters. It actually gives confidence where fear has taken over. You have a faith that trusts the Lord even if the Lord doesn't have your perspective or share your emotions in this thing. Faith when the Lord doesn't care the way you care. Verse 24, back over here in this episode, Jesus speaks to the wind and the water. You know, it's one thing to talk to the wind and the water. It's quite another thing for the wind and the water to actually listen to what you're saying. That's different. So He rebukes the wind and the raging of the water, the Bible says, and they cease, and there was a calm. And that's pretty incredible. Faith, what's this faith about? It's faith because the words of God are powerful. I mean, with just a spoken word, he has set it at peace, the raging of the water and the blowing of the wind. He's just calmed all that down. The words of God are a supernatural power. Supernatural. That's what we believe about the Bible. I mean, this record of God's words has a power. It has a supernatural power. It is beyond you and me to do the things that these words will produce in your life. Supernatural power. Jesus Christ had authority in his teaching doctrine. He had authority over disease. He had His authority over devils, over sickness, over leprosy, and now over creation. Jesus Christ is the Creator who put aside these lower laws of nature for the higher law of His direct commandment. So it's faith because the Word of God is powerful. It actually has the ability a supernatural ability. It's above nature to not only calm nature down, but also to change a life. Not just renovate or whatever, but actually to change people's lives and change their future. So it's a faith in the words of God, because the words of God are powerful. They're literally that powerful. You come to the question. Come to the question here. After he rebukes the wind and the raging of the water, they cease and there's calm. And okay, if the story ends there, great. You calmed it all down and we're not in danger anymore, great. But that's not where the story ends. That's not where this ends. Jesus then turns to the disciples and says, what happened? What happened here? Where is your faith? Why are you, I think it's in Mark, where he asks, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? When the Lord asks this question, it's asked of the disciples, but it could be asked of all of us. And I admit this is a problem that we've talked about just briefly here. But it was a problem. Like, what is the Lord mad at here? The disciples come to him for help. Isn't that what they're supposed to do? Why is he scolding them for coming to him? He's scolding them for the fear. Why are you afraid? Is it because you shouldn't have been afraid because there wasn't a potential for loss? No, there was real potential for loss. They're in jeopardy. And still the question remains, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? Where is it? Faith that's absent in the presence of fear. That's faithlessness. Faithlessness. David said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Notice that, and this is something that's interesting. In another place, I think he said there, why is your faith small or little faith, something like that. But you do have times in the Bible where Jesus is emphasizing different things. For instance, in some places, faith as a grain of mustard seed is good. But here it's not. It's not good. It's bad. Why? Because fear has taken over in place of faith. Faith that's absent in the presence of fear. But all of this comes out to this point. And over Luke does this. He'll give you a little episode in Jesus' ministry. Talk about how Jesus resolves the situation or asks a question or just handles the whole thing. And the result is the people around him gain this new revelation of who Jesus Christ is. So in verse 25, it says, and he said unto them, where is your faith? They being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? That's something. That's something. What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now that would be a reason not to jump back on Jesus, though. If he stood up in a boat and said everything be calm and it was all calm, I might just like, okay, you've obviously got control of this situation. But the disciples understand and they ask the question, what manner, who is this? We believe he's the Messiah. We believe he's the Son of God. We believe he's the one that's promised. We believe he is the answer. He is the one that's come as the on God's behalf. And now here he is in flesh and blood. But we didn't realize he could talk to nature and nature would respond. We didn't realize that. We've seen him heal some people. We've seen him teach some things that are just kind of mind-boggling things that he's taught. But we've never seen anybody just talk to nature and have nature respond. So the outcome of the whole thing, it's faith in Jesus Christ. It's faith in the person of Jesus Christ. The outcome was the greater revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And really, in the presence of Jesus Christ, fear that seemed reasonable. Well, this is something that just continues to I don't know, baffle me. But fear that seemed reasonable at the beginning, in the presence of Jesus Christ, that fear doesn't have any place. And it's not supposed to have any place. Fear that seemed reasonable at first. All of the statements made about what was going on, I think you and I could read those things and say, yeah, I mean, I'd be afraid too. How could you not be afraid? But in the presence of Jesus Christ, the lesson is that fear doesn't have any place. What does have place is faith. That's what should have place. That's what you should be concerned about. Trusting Jesus Christ, trusting His work, trusting what He said, trusting Him in life and death. In the face of life and death. I mean, this is critical. These things are just, it's sometimes, like I said, tough to handle some of Jesus Christ's criticisms with in these very real situations in people's lives. Real situations. There's real danger involved. There's real life and death involved. And he seems to take sometimes these things so casually because, again, his perspective is just a little bit different than ours. And he expects, no, you shouldn't have fear in this situation. What you should have is faith. What you should have is trust in me. I'm on this boat. I said we're going to the other side. And that's what we're doing. So replace that fear with some trust in Jesus Christ. And it's not just trust that things will get better. It's trust really in the face of life and death. It's incredible. That extreme. That's faith. And Jesus Christ says, where is your faith? It fell apart in the face of danger. Faith that matters. It really matters. Faith when the Lord doesn't care the way you care. That's the kind of faith the Lord's looking for. Faith because the Word of God is powerful. It literally is that powerful, supernatural. Faith that's absent in the presence of fear. Or faith that is, let's put it this way, also fear that's absent in the presence of faith. And then who's it in? It's faith in Jesus Christ. What manner of man is this? Who is this? We knew you were somebody, but we didn't know you were that somebody. We knew you had power. We knew you came from God, but we didn't realize you could do that. We didn't realize you could just talk to the water and the wind and it would listen. That's incredible. So take to heart some of these episodes, these things that Jesus Christ talks about. And when he rebukes folks, let's take some of that to heart. And try to set your expectations where Jesus Christ set his expectations. Because you'll see continually as he goes about ministering, he'll wonder where people's faith is. He'll wonder why they're not believing. And clearly his expectations are somewhere else where really ours should be. We should have the same expectations of ourselves that Jesus Christ has. So that said, this is a great, I mean, you could take the whole thing and say, yeah, Jesus calms your storm and all that. Yeah, he calms the storm and he also asks you some questions. Where's your faith? So with the calming of the storm comes the question, where is it? And so faith is described in those ways. As Sam comes and plays a little bit on the piano, we'll have just a little time of reflection. But think about Think about some of these things that Jesus Christ says and the expectations he has. Because that's the expectations we ought to have. If you want to bow your heads, close your eyes. Think about these things that Sam plays.